Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, may be seated. Dear friends, one of the worst things to experience in life is grumpiness. Grumpiness really spreads rapidly. I heard a story about that. Maybe you've heard the story too. A grocery clerk was recognizing a lady that had just finished shopping and put her groceries onto the table to check out. And the grocery clerk said, "Cash, check, or charge," as they normally do. And when the clerk said that, the shopper fumbled around in their purse, and the clerk saw that there was a television remote in the purse. Thought that was a really strange thing. Why would they have a television remote at the grocery store? So the grocery clerk asks, "Is that a television remote that you have there in your bag?" And the person said, "Yeah." And he said, "Why do you have that?" "Well, you see," the person said, I asked my husband to come shopping with me, and he refused. And so this was the most evil thing that I could do without doing anything that's illegal. I like that story because it shows that grumpiness spreads, husband, wife, and it spreads out. You know, so as Christians, we want to do the exact opposite of grumpiness, right? When people see us, they shouldn't see that we're grumpy. The opposite of grumpiness is gratitude. And if you read any of the big wigs in the church throughout the history of the church, I could rattle off many different quotes. The one thing that they say is the virtue that's most important amongst Christians is gratitude. That from all the other virtues that you could give, gratitude. Every person in our community wants to have gratitude. In fact, science even proves this. The Journal of Personality and Social Psychology says that this is what they concluded in a study just about 5 to 10 years ago. They said that people who show gratitude show positive emotions and have more life satisfaction. People that show ingratitude show negative emotions like envy, depression, and anxiety. We all want gratitude. A little bit of that. And this morning, rather than me giving my thoughts on it, I want to uplift King David because I think he's got something to share and a strategy for us. He's the one that wrote our psalm this morning, Psalm 8. So I don't unpack that here this morning. Psalm 8 is a unique psalm, as Karen read it here this morning. 150 psalms in the Bible. Only one is directed to God, just right up to him, Psalm 8. The interesting thing about Psalm 8, though, is that it actually shows that David had two instruments. And if I had them up here, I thought about bringing them forward, but I want you to imagine these two instruments. It suggests that as you live your life, you should carry around a telescope. Can you put that in your back pocket? That's what Psalm 8's asking you to do. And it's also asking you to carry a mirror as well. So a telescope and mirror. David carried a telescope around. It wasn't invented back then, but you get the picture. He had a telescope. And as he used that telescope, he looked up and he saw the enormity of God's creation. And so he writes the words that we have there in Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory far above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers," he says, the moon and the stars and everything that you've set in place," David says. David looks up and he sees in his telescope the grandness of God's creation. Do we do too? Do we do that? We should when we see the stars. Now think about this. This is crazy. Think about this. The distance between the earth and the sun is 93 million miles. That's a long ways. 93 million miles. That is, I'm going to say this morning, that is the thickness of a piece of paper. That's 93 million miles right there in the thickness of a piece of paper. Now, the earth to the next star beyond the sun would be a stack of these papers. Remember, each little paper is 93 million miles, 75 feet high. Okay? That's incredible. No, that's not it. The distance between the earth and the end of just our galaxy would be a stack of papers 310 feet high. Woo, that's high. And consider this, the galaxy is just a speck in the universe. It's nothing. Our galaxy's nothing. King David says God made it with his fingers. Wow. Not his hand, not his body, but his fingers. That's incredible. And so David, using the telescope, and I imagine he did it often as he went out into the stars in Jerusalem as king, he comes to the conclusion in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, David also used a mirror. Now, do you use a mirror in your life? I'm sure you do. By that, I mean this. Not so much to see how beautiful we are. That's how we oftentimes use mirrors. But a mirror can actually show, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can see that we're actually quite insignificant and pretty small in the grand scheme of things. And that's a part of the psalm here too. David says, after he says, when I consider the heavens and the moon and the stars and how you've set them in place, what is man that you consider him? In other words, man is really insignificant in everything. Now, we don't know when David said this. We don't know when he said this at time of life. David had a really crazy life in a lot of ways. I don't know when he said this, but I imagine that he said it at a moment that he really messed things up. And he really was feeling bad about himself, and he felt really insignificant. You know the Snickers commercial that says, "Do you want to get away?" I imagine that's David here. He's done something maybe wrong, and he just wants to hide. And that's what happens when we use a mirror. We look at it, and we're like, "Oh, I want to hide." That happens when we sin. It happens when we make mistakes and we hurt other people. I call it the turtle effect. The very first time that I got in trouble often with my parents. Not a lot, but sometimes. But I remember one of the times that I broke curfew. First time I got kind of a wrangling for breaking curfew. My parents caught me and the turtle effect happened. I wanted to be insignificant and small. By that I meant I wanted my neck to go down and my shirt to go over my head so I could hide. That's what a mirror does. And that's what we do at our church when we confess our sins. Luther said, use God's word as a mirror to look at yourself and say, wow, I'm pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Maybe David said this when he sinned with Bathsheba. Maybe he said it when he was hiding from King Saul in caves and had no one to turn to, and he felt really insignificant and small. So two really diametric, very different messages here. David has a telescope. Ah, oh, how awesome everything is that you've made, God. But then the mirror, he sees how small he is. And David makes one more jump. God cares for me. God's so big, I'm so small. God loves me. And that's why through his writings, all the Psalms bubbles up gratitude. Before I get carried away with that, not everyone makes that jump. Not everyone makes that jump. If we invited, for example, Stephen Hawking to be here. You know who Stephen Hawking is? Probably. Great scientist, and he has influenced the thoughts of many, many people. Stephen Hawking actually carried around a telescope and a mirror in his life too, actually. So when he used the telescope, he'd look at the enormity of the universe, probably the greatest scientist in the last 40 years, maybe, Stephen Hawking. And he would say, man, the universe is huge, Hawking would say in his writings. But Hawking would also look in the mirror and say, man, I'm pretty small in the midst of it all. But Hawking came to this conclusion. God doesn't care. And in fact, God does not exist. He was an atheist, wasn't he? Yeah. So how do we move towards gratitude? David or Stephen Hawking? Friends, this morning what I want to share with you is you have a better position than David or Stephen Hawking. You have a telescope, I know, and can see the world above, the universe above, and you have a mirror. You can see your flaws too, and it hurts us how small and insignificant we are. But see, there's a difference between you and King David. Today, God is visiting you. The God who created all things has become present to serve you and has come right next to you through his son Jesus and the gift of his body and blood. As you come forward today for Holy Communion, know this, God cares about you and loves you deeply. He's not off on some other planet. He didn't just create the world and take a step back. David didn't know this. David never took Holy Communion. He knew about Jesus, but he never took it. You get to receive the body and blood of Jesus. And from that, not just writing cards, it's not just that, from that bubbles up gratitude. God loves you. God cares for you. Every single person here. 50 years ago, July 1969. Does anyone know what you're doing in July? Who was alive? July 1969. Does anyone know what was going on? July 1969. Right, big things were happening. Man, big things were happening. So I wasn't alive. I didn't even know what was going on. July 1969 was the month in which man walked on the moon for the very first time. We're actually celebrating it here at Peace, believe it or not. July 19th, Friday, out on the patio, the NASA ambassador to the state of Oregon is coming to Peace, John Cowens, and he wants to talk to you about the landings on the moon and the history of this. Really interesting. But on that first landing, there were two guys you probably know, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Lightyear. Was his name? Buzz? No? Buzz Aldrin. Ah, not Buzz Lightyear. They landed on the moon, and they had about 5 to 6 hours up on the moon to just kind of take it all in. Not a lot of people know the story because NASA wants it hidden. Buzz Aldrin, maybe you know the story. Buzz Aldrin took Holy Communion in those 4 to 5 hours up on the moon. He was an elder at his Presbyterian church down in Texas. And the pastor and the elders said, please, go ahead, take communion. It was okay. They approved it. The church did. He took it up, took communion, 4 or 5 or 6 hours. NASA said, keep it quiet. We don't want anyone to know. We're not going to broadcast that because the noted atheist, Madeline O'Hare, sued NASA 6 months before. You know this? 6 months before, she sued NASA because they read the account from Genesis as the first orbit went around the moon. So they said, please be quiet about Holy Communion. Do it, but don't tell anyone. So there's Buzz Aldrin thinking about this enormous step that he was about ready to take, and Neil Armstrong was respectful. And 300,000 people worked on this project over a decade. And it was a nation's hope and desire. If you were living then, this was the thing in the United States. And what Buzz Aldrin wanted to do more than anything was to give thanks to God. In the midst of that huge universe, Aldrin saw how small he was. And he took communion to know, boy, God does care for me and his son, Jesus. He scribbled a little note. You know what he wrote on that paper? No one knows. It got auctioned off 10 years ago. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your works, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him? That's what he wrote on the moon. He took his first steps. God cares for me. And God cares for each one of you. He's not way beyond and not involved, but he cares for you. So you may be thinking this morning, I'm pretty small. Maybe you've had some turtle moments in your life. You want to put your head under your shirt and hide. Maybe you've gotten a health report and you haven't shared it with anyone else. And you feel small. Or maybe you've made a mistake and you feel insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Or maybe you're just lonely and feeling insignificant through that time of your life. Maybe you feel like no one in this congregation cares, or there's no one in my street block that cares. And go away with this today. God cares for you. He gave you his son, Jesus. He loves you deeply. And that can give us gratitude in life, and it can bubble up in cards that we write, in meals that we make, in phone calls that we make with one another, and it can spread. Christianity is not the absence of struggle. Christianity is this. It's lots of struggle, but a lot of gratitude mixed in because of what God has done for us through his son, Jesus. You know, dogs are great. I figured I'd get dogs into the sermon a little bit here. John Calvin, great theologian, said this: "The one thing that separates human beings from all other creatures, only humans can return thanks to their creator." I don't know if animals can do that. I'm not going to make that argument. James is probably going to argue against that. I don't know. But think of that. That's the one thing you can do, is to return thanks to a God that loves you dearly and cares greatly about every single person here. Let's live lives not of grumpiness, but of gratitude. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen.